Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I want to continue with that thought here tonight. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 5 this evening, the beginning of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, some verses of Scripture I know very familiar to you all. Several years ago, I believe it was on a Sunday night, we had planned to have hot fudge cake here at HMBC. Our secretary, Miss Ann Ridings, she does just about everything well. I'm glad she doesn't preach, because I'd have sure been out of a job a long time ago. But she does our bulletins, photography, and computer work, and just it's amazing what she does. But she makes a mean hot fudge cake. And we dismissed the service, and we were about ready to dig into that hot fudge cake when Joe Glisson came up to me and said, "We've made a terrible mistake tonight." I said, "What's up with that?" He said, "We needed to join the church." And so back in the fellowship hall, before we dug into the hot fudge cake, they gave their testimony, and we voted to receive them into our fellowship, and they've been happy, and we've been happy ever since. And then their son Barry came along and got saved, and the Lord's still blessing. So I'm thankful that you know, our blessings are not confined to Sunday morning service. And we've baptized people on Sunday night. We've received members on Sunday night, Wednesday night, just any time. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord's moving, you know, we just need to move with Him, let Him lead. And I hope and pray that we can do that here tonight and always. As we were singing the very first song, here, the first song we started with tonight, "Where Milk and Honey Flows," the chorus begins, "Hallelujah, glory, glory. In my heart the love light grows. I'm so happy, shouting, singing, hallelujah, where the milk and honey flows." We were happy this morning. Our service began with being happy, and I'm still happy tonight, and I'm thankful for that. My message tonight is going to be titled, "Happiness is Being Blessed." Happiness is being blessed. Let me set this up here just for a few moments. Matthew tells us, and I'm not sure about the timing of this Sermon on the Mount, but Matthew tells us, and obviously this is some time into the Lord's ministry when he preached this sermon. Matthew tells us in the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 23, that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, and his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And I want you to try to get this. The Lord's been into his ministry for some time, and Matthew gives us a picture of how Jesus was working, how he was fulfilling his purpose in coming to this world. He was an itinerant preacher. He traveled from place to place, and he covered a lot of territory in 3.5 years. And everywhere he went, he healed, as Matthew said, all manner of sickness and disease, and people were coming from everywhere. This morning I mentioned how, you know, it must have been amazing on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and began blessing that meeting there, and 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church. And I've wondered, how in the world did all that happen? You know, there were 12 apostles there, and they were, I imagine they were all preaching. We have a sample of Peter's preaching on that day. But it must have been something to see. I was in a meeting up in Nashville many years ago at McFerrin. Brother Massey was a pastor. Revival going on. There were 10 people saved in that meeting that night. I had never seen anything like that in my life. But, you know, over here in this part of the church, somebody would get saved. And then over here, somebody else would get saved. And two or three more would get saved. And then there was a lull. And then it would start up again. And when the service was over, 10 people were saved in that meeting. We had read about them. Up living up north and reading the Baptist Beacon and other Baptist publications, we would read about these revivals and think, wow, what a blessing that would be. And I've often wondered how it would be. And I got a sample of that in that meeting that night. My dad was saved in 1953 in Kingsport, Tennessee. I've told this. Revival meeting went on all summer long. every night, all summer long, and 450 people were saved in that revival when the meeting came to an end. It made the newspaper, you know, and I've never heard of anything, never saw anything like it myself, never heard of anything like it before. But we're still serving the same God, brothers and sisters, that's able to save one or two or 10 or 450 or 3,000 souls in a heartbeat. He can do that. But he's in control of it all. And so these crowds were amassing. Matthew tells us here, and seeing the multitude in chapter 5, seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Most biblical scholars suggest that this wasn't really a mountain like we know of mountains here in West Tennessee, but rather it was likely a large hill, where when Jesus was on the top of it and all these people were gathered around, it just kind of created an amphitheater there. And he sat down and he began to teach as it was their custom in those eastern countries. They didn't stand in a pulpit like this and preach. I read about Adoniram Judson, who went to Burma, and he set up a pulpit like he was accustomed to in this country and started preaching to the Burmese people, but nobody would stop and listen to him. But one day he noticed a Buddhist monk sitting on the ground and all these people sitting around listening to him teach and preach about Buddhism. So he got rid of his pulpit and sat on the ground, and everybody started gathering in and listening to him. Sometimes we have to change our ways, and we have to try to envision how it was like in Jesus's day. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." The word blessed, if you look it up in a dictionary, it's both an adjective and a noun. As an adjective, it means someone who is consecrated or someone who is made holy, something that is made holy, someone that is made holy. But if you look at it as a noun, the dictionary tells us this, that blessed means those who live with God in heaven. I was really surprised to see that definition for this particular word, blessed or blessed. And folks, I want to tell you tonight, we're blessed to know that we're going to live with God in heaven one of these days. Praise the Lord. That is our hope, isn't it? And we listened this morning to those giving their testimonies of how the Lord dealt with them in their life. And I believe Tanya said it. You know, they're all different. Everyone's testimony is different. The end result is the same. Salvation, eternal life, peace and joy in the soul, hope, assurance of that eternal life. The end result of that is the same. But God works in so many different ways to bring us to the place of total faith and trust in the Lord. But we are certainly blessed tonight to know that we've been saved, that we have the hope of eternal life. Now, I believe it was Robert Schuller, he refers to these Beatitudes as be happy attitudes. But I'll tell you what, I don't believe that's exactly what it is at all. You know, happiness here, we search for happiness, and I read not long ago that people searching for happiness rarely ever find it. You know, because we look for it in all the wrong places. Our happiness, brothers and sisters, we know is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our happiness is found in doing the will of God. Happiness doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be happy down here under the sun, as Solomon spoke in Ecclesiastes. But our happiness is going to be found in the Son, in Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. And here the Lord said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The poor in spirit is someone who recognizes their spiritual poverty, someone who understands that there's something missing in our life, and there's a hole in our life. There's an emptiness there that just absolutely needs to be filled, and what's missing in our life is our relationship with God, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jeremiah tells us the heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it's only when we come to know that fact, that our heart is desperately wicked, that we are sinners in the sight of God, when we understand the principle that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it's only when we understand that, that we'll ever come to Jesus Christ and know Him as Lord and Savior. I remember that moment in time years ago when God opened my heart, opened my conscience to the fact that I was a sinner, and it was a horrible feeling, you know, loving to go to church, enjoying going to church, and then in that moment when everything changed, and I was separated, I was dead spiritually, and no longer did I want to go to church, but I knew and understood that I needed to be saved, and Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of God." And it's only recognizing that we have that loss, that emptiness within us, that we turn to God and we begin to seek God's will in our life. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart. And save such as be of a contrite spirit. You know, and that's telling us, you know, when we understand that we are sinners in the sight of God, that we're separated from God and His goodness and His kingdom, it's a terrible feeling to be in. And it's only those who recognize that fact that is the very condition that they're in, that their heart is broken, their spirit is troubled, that will come to know the Lord in to be saved. Blessed are the meek. These are people who have a mild and gentle spirit, as opposed to those who are proud and mighty in this world. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, "The race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong." Right now, the Russians are rolling over the Ukraine. You know, they have a huge military power and might over the Ukrainians. But God's word is true. I believe that one day God will overthrow this man in Russia and his evil designs. The meek shall inherit the earth. You know, there have been wars and rumors of wars all down through history. Men have risen up with this, you know, control the world attitude, and they've dominated the world for a short time, but they fall, their kingdoms fall, and it's the meek who absolutely do inherit the earth. And I'm thankful for that. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, as our physical body, we hunger and we thirst. And I know what it's like when I'm hungry. I start rummaging around through the kitchen to find something to eat. You know, naturally, physically, our bodies need nourishment. And when we get hungry, that's exactly what we do. I know sometimes I just stand in front of the refrigerator, just staring there looking for something to eat, you know. Spiritually, it's the same way. When we recognize the fact that we are empty, that we are broken, that we're poor in spirit, when we hunger and thirst, there's a spiritual desire in us. David in the Old Testament in the Psalm, he said, "My soul thirsts after God, as in a dry and thirsty land." In Psalm 63, he said, "My flesh longs for thee." You know, and brothers and sisters, physically and spiritually, we long for God. We need to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, our church fellowship here, it's physical. We need to come together in this way and worship together. And we've missed a lot during this coronavirus issue. And maybe one of these days we're going to finally overcome that. I certainly hope so. But spiritually and physically, we hunger and we thirst for God. And nothing will fill that. There's nothing in this world that can take the place of our coming together physically. Opening our songbooks and lifting our voices and singing praises to the Lord and sitting in Sunday school or sitting in church and hearing the Word of God preached is because our soul and our bodies physically hunger to be filled. God ordained that it's that way. We were made in the image and likeness of God. We are spiritual creatures, and only spiritual food, spiritual things can meet that need in our life. Blessed are the merciful. The word merciful is a combination of two Latin words, misery and heart, or it's referring to hurting hearts. And the implication of this is that we should be kind and compassionate toward people who need pardon and who need relief in this present world. Jesus Christ in his ministry, as Matthew tells us, he went around everywhere feeding the poor, feeding them physically with natural food, multiplying loaves and fishes, but also granting healing to those who were sick and afflicted, and forgiving sins, forgiving people's sins, and giving them peace and hope and the assurance of eternal life. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said, for they shall see God. Anybody in here tonight have a pure heart? Anybody? No takers? You know, I don't feel very pure in heart. But you know, there's moments in my life when my heart seems to be right with God. You know, and in those moments, I see God everywhere and I see God in everything. This morning was one of those moments, you know. And folks, I know, and I've experienced this in the middle of a great spiritual meeting. Sometimes you get these ugly thoughts that go through your mind. You wonder, where do they come from? Our nature is sinful to the core. And we need help from God. You know, and it's God's grace that allows us those moments when we can just get all the worldly stuff out of our hearts and minds and think about God. And I'm thankful tonight that there's a few moments of time in my life where I've really seen God, really felt His presence. Isaiah the prophet said that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. You know, when we can think about God and dwell upon spiritual things, I'm telling you, it's just the most wonderful peace in the world. And then we turn from that and we go out into the world. I was listening to a preacher just the other day. You know, he said, we come to church, you know, 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Sunday. He said, we'll have a powerful meeting and God's Holy Spirit will be moving and blessing and people are rejoicing. Then we'll have a benediction and we'll shut it off. And we'll go right back to the world. He said, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? Well, what's wrong with us is that we're human. We're sinners by nature. Sadly, you know, this flesh, it craves worldly things as well. God help us. God help us that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we would desire spiritual things. Blessed are the peacemakers. Vladimir Putin is a warmonger. He's an evil man, and he's making war. And it is very possible, brothers and sisters, that this could degenerate into another world war. I pray that that will not be so. And for that reason, that's why we need to be on our knees praying to God, that God would stop this madman. You know, I don't know what needs to be done, but we need to pray that God would be with our world leaders, our government leaders, that Paul said that we could live a quiet and peaceable life. So we need to be praying for our government leaders that they would be peacemakers, not warmongers. Paul, in his writing, no, it was James, excuse me, said that this tongue is an unruly evil. He said it's an incredible fire that sets on fire the whole course of nature. The book of Proverbs tells us that soft words turn away wrath. And you and I, as believers in Christ, we need to be peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted. And this is a tough one, brothers and sisters. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And this is inevitable. As I mentioned this morning, the Lord told us that the world would be like it is in the time that we're living in. And these are troubled and difficult times. But we need to be more like Christ and to endure with patience the persecutions and the abuse that they hand out toward Christian people. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets, he said. They persecuted Christ our Savior in the same way, and Jesus indicated that they would persecute us as well. And that's just a fact of our Christian life here in this world. Jesus comes to the end of this great sermon on the Mount, and he closes with this profound statement. He said, enter in at the straight gate. Enter in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. He said, there's going to be many in the day of judgment that will say to me, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. But Jesus said, I will say to them in that day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You know, our relationship with God, with Christ, is based on the fact that we know Him as Lord and Savior. And when you come to know Him You know, when that conviction sets in your heart and that hunger sets up in your soul, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When you recognize that your spirit is broken and undone, and your need is to have a relationship with Christ, and you seek Him with all your heart and know Him as Lord and Savior, that's when the peace and the happiness comes. Our happiness comes by being blessed by Almighty God. Down here, the harder it seems like we work and labor for something in this world to bring us peace and comfort and happiness and fulfillment, we just come up empty. But when we find our fulfillment in the Lord, there's where our happiness is. And happiness is being blessed by God. Happiness is hearing people stand and say, I know I've been saved. You know, we rejoice this morning and just singing those songs of praise and hearing the wonderful testimonies of these that have been saved. And others testified of the same thing. You know, and that's what we hunger for. That's what we long for in this life, is to share that good news with other people that we've been saved and hear them say, I know that I've been saved as well, which is the basis of our fellowship in the Lord. That's where our peace comes. I'll tell you, it was peaceful and happiness in the service this morning from the very get-go. And what a great day this has been in the Lord. Be wonderful tonight to hear someone say, I know I've been saved. You know, and I know we don't understand spiritual things entirely. You know, we've heard testimony that it's hard to put into words exactly what God has done for our soul, and it really is. But it's worth the effort for all of us to stand and testify, I've been saved by the grace of God. Our peace, our joy, our fulfillment, our happiness is found in doing the will of God. And He begins in our life by bringing conviction to us and letting us know that we are lost and separated from Him. And He reaches out to us in love and He draws us to Him that we might know Him and trust in Him and be saved by His marvelous grace. And then He leads us in this path of righteousness for His name's sake. And yes, there's going to be difficult times along the way. There's going to be persecution. It's not going to be an easy road. But you know what? The Holy Spirit came to Paul when he was in prison and told him, don't fear, Paul. You know, I'm with you. I've got much people in this city. And he revealed to Paul that he was going to be a witness even before kings. And that's exactly what the Lord worked out in his life. And Paul was happy when he was being a witness for the Lord. I don't know, there may be someone here tonight that needs the Lord in their life. I can't see your heart. I really don't know. But if God is speaking to your heart, you know, happiness, true joy and peace and happiness comes when we answer that call and put our faith and trust in the Lord. Our happiness comes from being blessed by God Almighty, by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Brian, come lead us in a song tonight. Follow the Lord tonight. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, troubling your soul, or if God is just inspiring you tonight to testify and share your faith in what the Lord has done in your life, you know, by all means, we need to be obedient to the will of the Lord.
165.
165.
Red book.